The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Plenty to get to, Bear. We got Pac-12. We got Big 12 teams to get to. I got breaking news. I see it in Colorado. Ooh. Colorado season win total moved to a different number of 2.5. We will table that and get to it later. All right? We got week zero picks. People want picks. And I've been looking up and down, trying to come up with something for week zero. We got the con on the road at Utah State before Utah State goes to Alabama next week. We got Vandy on the island late. We got two Big Ten teams playing a conference game overseas. What sticks out to you for this week zero slate?
The only game that I really, really like is Illinois. And I think we talked about that last week. In the Illini Lane 10. Look, I don't think this is going to be one of Craig Bohl's best teams at Wyoming. You're talking about a team, you lost your leading rusher in Holiday, you lost both quarterbacks who played, you lost your top wide receivers, and they were kind of hit and miss last time on offense anyway. So I don't think they're going to be able to score a ton of points against a defense that did pretty well last year. In the Big Ten, you bring in Barry Lunny now as offensive coordinator. You would expect you're going to get good defensive play. Bielema has that 1-2 punch at running back. I like Illinois in this game, and I'm willing to lay the double digits. The other game that I'm undecided on, it's funny. It's like the week one college football season is here, like sicko disease. I've had so many people, probably just because of where I am and where you're not anymore, asking me about UConn, Utah State. And I'm not necessarily high on Utah State this year compared to where they were last year. Logan Bonner had a knee injury that I believe it was that he suffered in the bowl game. And I don't know if he's cleared yet or not. But it seems like a lot of points to be laying here. You would think that Jim Mora coming into UConn has the Penn State transfer quarterback now. They'll show a little bit more life offensively than they did a year ago. It seems like this is probably way too many points, even though you would say that Utah State wants to put up a big number, knowing that they're going to go to Alabama next week and take a large L. But I see the numbers drop below 28 now, so 27.5. It seems like a key type number. But if you're sitting around Saturday afternoon in the Nutmeg State and you're watching the beloved Huskies, I could see myself taking the University of Connecticut Huskies at plus 27.5 or so. But I do like Illinois minus the 10.
I agree with you on all facets. I like Illinois. When I think about what they bring to the table, I keep going back to the Bielema quote, and I said it last week. I didn't come here to win five games. And, Coach, you're not going to win five games if you lose this game. I think they'll have a lot of juice in Champaign. I'm fired up to see what the offense looks like with Barry Lunny Jr. from UTSA coming in, along with Tommy DeVito, who's good, was pretty good when he was at Syracuse. I love the tight end, Luke Ford. I agree with you on Wyoming. I don't know where they're going to fall in the Mountain West. I would expect it to be in the bottom tier. But I think Bielema has a chance to jumpstart, just like he did last year against Nebraska. So I feel good laying the points there. And I can't get my eyes off of this Vanderbilt game because – I just saw a tweet I was reading this morning where Hawaii.
Are you worried about not being able to watch this game?
No, I'll be watching. I'll find a way. Okay. I'll find it. Okay. Nah, it's not a problem. My issue is Hawaii. I forgot the guy's name, but they put out a tweet about Vanderbilt doesn't know what they're in for. This stadium's going to have 9,300 people strong. And it's going to feel like it's going to feel like 90,000. And I'm like, I just think about this game where Vanderbilt, like, just trying to get on the right track. I can't imagine how long, you know, the offseason was, how bad the roster is. When you look at it, in the conference, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to probably go with the young kid, Mike Wright, at quarterback. They got some seniors coming back on defense. But it's going to – I mean, we've seen this Hawaii games a million times. It's going to be hold on to your butts the whole time. I would imagine Vanderbilt's going to feel good about their advantage on the line of scrimmage and try and pound the ball, shorten the game. But no matter what, Hawaii's going to feel – going to be five wide. Timmy Chang's going to be throwing – you know, have his guys throwing the ball all over the yard. And
they'll bring in a line judge from Waikiki Beach to come in and be on the officiating crew. The key moment, you never know.
Is Vanderbilt going to score enough to win? Given points there.
There are a lot of people that like Vandy in this game.
Well, I saw it's down to 6.5 now, too. That's what's crazy to me. Just for ha-has, I will guarantee I'll have an Illinois-Vanderbilt teaser Saturday. I will say that.
What could go wrong?
Why not? I know what's going to happen. The right side is probably Hawaii, but I would like to see Vanderbilt get off with a win, knowing what that SEC schedule looks like. The game everybody will be watching is Nebraska-Northwestern in Ireland. I said last week the only side I could take is now that it's especially up to 13 is Northwestern. That doesn't make me feel great, but there's no way Northwestern is going to be as bad as they were last year. I just don't see it. They've got some good seniors. I expect Helinski to be better at quarterback. They got the great left tackle. They've got experience in the secondary. They got the running back back. And will Nebraska come out, you know, guns a-blazing with that offense? We know, you know, I was reading Frost is still doing the run game and Whipple's going to take over the pass game. How's that going to go? Does Northwestern get a turnover early and go up early? I don't want any business giving 13 points. I'm fired up to see both teams this year. I just don't like giving double digits in a conference game to start the year in Ireland and all that comes with that. So if there's any side for me to take in that one, it's Northwestern plus the points.
The other game that I'm kind of interested in as well, but for I guess I should probably just touch on. Yeah, I would be with you. I could see Nebraska being in one of those money line parlays if I were to throw one in for just because of how last year started with the mm-hmm. debacle against Illinois. So many different facets of Nebraska. I think they'll win the game, but I would not be wanting to lay 12.5 or that many points in a game with the other guys. You know, we're going to see Pat Fitz running up and down the sidelines with those shorts on and short sleeve shirt, all excited. Fitzgerald in Ireland and Dublin, but yeah, mm-hmm. I would not want to lay this many points with Nebraska. And I don't know if I'd want to lay 7 points with FAU. Cosey Perry, a quarterback. Charlotte's a team that took a little bit of a step back last year, but I think that program's on good footing. I'm not sure what we're going to get out of FAU. I think they got some problems on defense, which it started out kind of well last year, and then they just went downhill fast. You look at their final games. Blown out by Western Kentucky late, but lost by 2 touchdowns to Old Dominion. Lost to Marshall by more than 2 touchdowns. Lost by double digits to a bad Middle Tennessee team. I just don't know if you'd want to be laying that many points with a team that I think has a ton of questions on the coaching staff as well.
Agree on all fronts. One thing I do want to see Saturday night is what North Carolina looks like on offense. I didn't realize they had this game, and we talked about mm-hmm. them going into those two road games. He named May the starter, and I typical Mac Brown. We don't have a plan going forward after that. Trust me, Coach Brown has a plan with what he's going to do with his quarterbacks. But yeah, I'm expecting. I haven't done my Florida A&M research, but I just want to see what Carolina looks like. May's a big dude. Played a little bit last year. Obviously, you know, the family ties there with the family. So I just want to see what they look like and see Coach Chiz with that defense and see what he's got on that. So I'll definitely have my eyes on the ACC network.
How much do you think we'll really see from the Heels? It's kind of a tough situation because you need to run your stuff with so many inexperienced parts against an overmatched opponent. But at the same time, when you go to Boone against a team that's not going to be as much overmatched, you kind of want to have some element of surprise. So it's kind of a tough spot, I would think, for Mac and the Tar Heels, kind of trying to figure out that sweet spot of, okay, we want to run this, but at the same time, let's hold this back.
Yeah, you're going to know what you want to do from a standpoint. You're going to want to get your offensive line involved, get them some hits, you know, run your basic runs. I think you're going to save all your special runs and stuff like that. But what you're definitely going to – they're going to do is throw the ball deep to make sure App State sees them, be like, oh, wow, all right, this is a guy. Who's the new guys? Maybe you run the deep stuff with different personnel, knowing that you have your stud wide receiver and you're underneath stuff. So there's plenty of options in that offense. Like I said, they're not going to hold back. I think Mac's going to have that home crowd. They don't come back, I think, home until that Notre Dame game. So he's going to want to give that home crowd something. So I wouldn't be afraid of them holding back. I mean, if they want, I'm sure they could run a couple guys past the Florida A&M secondary. And if Florida A&M's going to play that far off, then they could do whatever they want. But they could still be basic and get some big splash plays with the talent level they have. So I'm not worried about, like I said, I just want to see it because I'm fired up to see what they are, because they are an ultimate wild card to me this year. Before we move on, we've got some exciting things going on at ESPN Podcasts. First, consider this the official announcement of the College Game Day Podcast. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can listen to hosts Reese Davis, Pete Thamel, and all your favorites from College Game Day. This is a big deal. Go subscribe to the College Game Day Podcast wherever you're listening to this show right now. And 30 for 30 Podcast presents The Longest Game. In the spring of 1981, the Pawtucket Red Sox and Rochester Red Wings met for a minor league game. Over the course of 33 innings, the two teams would make history. This episode features archival sound, an accidental treasure trove of the game's play-by-play broadcast, and interviews with those who experienced it firsthand. Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. You pick Pac-12, Big 12, which way you want to go first?
Let's talk Pac-12. Let's talk Big 12, rather.
I think
both are interesting conferences, and
they are.
I have a ton of win total thoughts really in either league, but I get some overlying thoughts.
All right. The one thing I realized that stuck out to me going back and looking at these teams, what happened last year, for how many one-score games there were in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Kansas State, Iowa State, just so many. That shows you how tight the league could be. And when, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, everybody feels like they have a different take on to win the conference. And I know there was a discussion when the odds were announced, who was the favorite. There was Oklahoma. It was Baylor. You know, obviously Texas is the hot team everybody wants to talk about, knowing the Alabama game is out of conference. But let's hold off of that. Let's just start at the bottom for win totals. Kansas, it's 2.5. It's overs minus 145. I'm just going to say this blindly. They go over. Trust in Lance. Somehow, some way, they'll get one where you don't expect it. And I expect them to start off the year. I mean, you get West Virginia on the road week 2. You got to go to Houston, and then you get Duke home. I would expect you to be 2-2 at the least after that. And then you got to get one coming in. You get the rematch with Texas at home. You get Oklahoma State coming home, TCU at home, Iowa State at home. So it's, you would probably want the teams figured out the other way, but I just blindly, I can't go against Leipold and what he's done there I think they get 3 wins this year.
Yeah, you're basically saying, do they win a Big 12 game? Yes. That's ultimately. Yep.
And they did last year.
And they did in a wild, ridiculous game against Texas, and they played Oklahoma well as well. I disagree there. I'd go under.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I think everyone's going to point to that. I can see them being 2-2 after a win against Duke, and people pointing to Iowa State potentially being down this year. And it's an opportunity for them to have a winning record for the first time since whenever in the month of October. And I don't know. I can see that as a spot where they kind of with a land egg. I'd feel much better about 3 than 2.5. But if you're asking me 2.5, I would put under. I think the Big 12 is really, really deep. And I've said this before on some other shows, like you could take Iowa State, TCU, Oklahoma, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Texas, Kansas State, throw them in a blender, pick two of them out, and any combination you get of those two teams, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the conference championship game.
I wanted to get to that because there's two teams that I have circled, and I could see them meeting there, even though it doesn't seem like a possibility, and we'll get to those teams. The crazy thing about Kansas is they won, what, 2 last year? Because over-under was 1.5, I thought, or mm-hmm. 1.
Yeah, I know the Big 12 total was 1, and I played under basically as a free roll for them to go winless, knowing that they weren't going to win 2, and they won. And I was so happy that they won the one game in push. I was very happy that they beat Texas. That was great.
The one thing that sticks out, and I'm sorry to go on Kansas here, they had a positive turnover margin last year, +3. That's crazy to me. Knowing what bad teams usually do is not win turnover battles. That's just something that stuck out to me. West Virginia, 5.5. Got their work cut out for them early. We know the quarterback situation going into week 1 against Pitt. Graham Harrell is now the OC. It just hasn't been good. In West Virginia, to me, it starts with the quarterback position. You get Daniels in, you get Harrell. They work together. I know the numbers weren't great for SC quarterbacks when Harrell was there, but I think that had a lot to do with the flawed roster and those guys striking out on recruits. Neil Brown hasn't been higher than 82nd in scoring in Morgantown since he got there. Fourth year. This is his 14th, or he did go 14 straight years of calling plays, and he's handed that over to Graham Harrell. I still think I like him week 1 to cover. I just feel like that's a funky number. They get all their old line back, but the problem is the last year the sacks allowed, 38 sacks allowed was the second most in school history. The schedule is absolutely brutal to me. I was thinking over when I was reading all their stuff, but it's a stay away for me. 5.5 is over at -105, so it's a pick 'em. Your thoughts on the Mountaineers?
I honestly have no idea what way it's going to go for West Virginia. Yeah. They're a team I don't have a great grasp on. I'm in this league, and I'll openly admit it. I think the defense losing so many players, I think that's going to be a problem. I can see them being involved in a lot more high-scoring games than they have been in the past. I don't want to say it's going to be back to like the Dana era where they're in those mm-hmm. ridiculous games that they had with Baylor. But mm-hmm. I think with Daniels, a quarterback, and some of the problems that they can solve, the drops that they've had on offense, I think they can score some points. And in that league, losing so many guys on the back end of that defense, I think that could be a problem. I do tend to think it's a couple too many points against Pitt, just with the Panthers breaking in also some new players on the offensive side of the ball. We can expect Pitt's defense to be good, but at the same time, they've given up some yards and points at times as good as their defense is as well. So if I had to play that week 1 game right now, which I'm sure we'll talk about it again next week, I would lean towards taking the 7. But in terms of a West Virginia win total, I think there are too many variables because who knows? The offense could absolutely take off and they could just wind up winning a bunch of 50-50 games. So it's really not a win total I'd want to be involved in.
And that's what I was going to say. Last time they had a transfer quarterback, Will Grier jump-started. Those were kind of the best years Dana had when he had a transfer quarterback. Maybe JT could do the same. Problem is the defense. League low 13 turnovers forced last year, and they were 109th in quarterback pressures. They got to be better there. I won't be surprised if they went to Virginia Tech and won that game. I'll just say that. I believe that's week four.
That's a Thursday night game, too, I think.
It's a good chance.
Lane Stadium will be rocking. Enter Sandman. Toughest home environment to go in and play. I'll be all wound up.
All right, your Cyclones. 6.5. Go.
I would be inclined to take a look at the over, and I know everyone's rolling their eyes and shaking their head and laughing. There goes Bear again, back in Iowa State. But look, as bad as things were last year for them, their four losses, Big 12 play, all were one-score games. They outgained Baylor by like 200 and something yards and lost a game they should have won. They outgained Oklahoma in a loss. Like there were things that I think, look, Brock Purdy did some good things, but especially at the Iowa game is another perfect example. There are a lot of times in recent years where he just happened to turn the ball over at inopportune times, the Big 12 championship game year before that. It might be a good thing that they're actually moving on this year from
Purdy.
I think change ultimately will be a good thing. And I think the fact that nobody's really expecting anything out of Iowa State this year, I think that kind of falls back in line with the Matt Campbell motto about the no stars versus the five, whatever it is. I think the lack of expectations will be good for Iowa State this year. I think this is a team that potentially could surprise. Like, look, you go to Iowa early on, but you'll beat Ohio, you'll beat Southeast Missouri State. You got a winnable road game at Kansas. You get Kansas State, which is another winnable game at home. You get West Virginia, who we admit we don't know what to expect there. Texas Tech. Like, there are a lot of coin flippy type games. Like, the teams you want to get at home, they get them at home. The teams you want to get on the road, teams, you get them on the road. So, like, it's a very favorable schedule for Iowa State. And, look, I'm not saying they're going to win the league, but I think taking a shot on Iowa State to win the Big 12 this year isn't the worst wager in the world. Again, the defense, you know, with McDonald, they're going to get pressure. I mean, they were one of the best defenses in the country last year. Now they lose a guy, Deshaun Young is gone. But there's a lot, I think, still to work with on the defensive side of the ball. I think they're going to be okay in running back, even with with Breece Hall Long. I mean, Gerald Brock, that he was fine. So
and reading everything, he loves what he has at the running back position.
Yeah, I like Iowa State, and I'd be playing over the 6.5 here.
Agreed. I think it did feel stale with Purdy. It really did. And now you get Heckers coming in, lefty. I just want to see him. Like, he's one of these guys. Like, all right, let me see him now. You know, I've seen Purdy. Let me get Deckers in there. And what I think they're going to be able to do is surprise some people. With, you know, even maybe against Iowa, is they've been so predominant with tight end, multiple tight end formations. They don't really have those guys anymore. So they're going to be different personnel-wise. He likes what he has on the offensive line coming back. Will McDonald IV is a great pass rusher, maybe the best in the league in some people's opinion. But, like, it's as bad as it was, like you said, the close games. It's right there. He averages, here you go, in Campbell's 6 years, the Cyclones average 6-1 score games each year, but they're 15-21 in those games. So that's right there. I mean, I get it. It's Iowa State, and now they want more because they got a taste of it when they went to the Fiesta Bowl and all that. But, hey, if my team's going to be in that many games, I'm good. I know they're going to get over the hump eventually. Correct. With Campbell, because he's too good of a coach. So I'm with you there. Let's go. Move on. TCU, 6.5. Go ahead.
This is the other team that I took a shot with on winning the league. I didn't play the win total because I think this is a little bit more volatile, and if things don't go the way I think they could go, You're looking at it getting a little sideways because they do have the non-conference game against SMU will be good. They got the game against Colorado. We've talked about that game, I think, already about how I got down on TCU -7.5 weeks and weeks ago, anticipating this number going to 10. I think it's a 10.5 now. So
it's going to
be an opportunity if I want next week to have a little bit of a buyback and maybe get a key number of 10 in there next week. But you Dykes is now there. He made no secrets about wanting this job. You've got one of the best wide receivers in the country in Quentin Johnson. I think the hardcore college football fans know who he is, but I'm not sure like average fan who is a casual viewer knows how good of a player he is. He just ripped apart Oklahoma last year in a game where TCU had all sorts of quarterback problems. And that'll be interesting to see as well. Like, well, what do they get? What do they get from Morris and Duggan back again? I think people are making a little bit too much of the fact that Zach Evans is gone. I think they're going to be okay. He was hurt most of last year, so I think they're going to be okay at running back with some of the Kendre Miller they like quite a bit, and then there's another kid who they had brought up, Di Mercado, I think is his name, that they like as well. So I think they got plenty of weapons on offense. It's just going to be a question of does their offense taking such short drives, do they kind of wear down the defense and ultimately wind up losing a bunch of high scoring games? But I think TCU might have been in a position where it was. I mean, as much as Gary took that program as far as he could and built it into what it is, and got them into the Big 12, and got them into New Year's Six games and into national championship conversations, but it might have just been time for a change. So I think that could be a positive thing. I think you get two non-conference wins that you should get. The SMU game will be tough. You get Oklahoma at home early on, which is probably the time when you're going to want to get them early before Venables and that staff get experience, and before Gabriel gets more acclimated to a Big 12 type of play. So if I had to play it, I would look over. But at the same time, I do recognize that there is an opportunity for them to lose at Texas, lose at Baylor. Maybe you lose to Iowa State. The Oklahoma game doesn't go well. You lose that. The other game at SMU doesn't go well. I think there are enough opportunities there for them to lose. But I do think there's also an opportunity for them that if things click and things go right, there's a chance for them to have a pretty good season.
Yeah, I love the over here. Might be my favorite play in the conference. I just go back. The defense was absolutely atrocious. Going back and look at 11 running backs had 100-yard-plus days against them. 11.
That's just crazy. Tackle. It was amazing.
And they bring in Joe Gillespie, who's a guy from Tulsa. If you watch Tulsa, they always play good defense. I love that hire. And they're going to be better there. They have plenty of playmakers. I think that, you know, maybe, you know, Gary, you know, it's 21 years and things, you know, ran up against the wall. And, you know, did they check out? Probably. But I like Sonny Dykes coming in from a stability factor. Garrett Riley's the offensive coordinator. And he keeps talking about this Sam Jackson, who's a 5'11 redshirt freshman quarterback from Chicago, is a dual threat kid. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have a package for him. So I think he's going to have a ton of things to do on offense. The defense will be better. I would not be surprised to see them in the Big 12 title game. I really like TCU this year. All right, one thought here. Texas Tech, do you have anything? Because I have one prediction for Texas Tech. The number's 5.5. It's -115. I'm not sure about that. The schedule is tricky, but I do have a prediction for them.
They're going to get someone. I think that they are on the upswing. I think the fact that they're finally all on the same page, I think they love their coach. I think they're going to build the team right. They will get either NC State or Texas or Baylor or Oklahoma. They'll win one of those games against the big name team on their opponent, on their schedule, rather.
I will say this. You didn't mention the team who they're going to get. They are going to get Houston week two. They're going to get
them. Okay, or that.
They are going to get them. So lock in that line if you see it anywhere around. Everybody knows the story. Kittley, who, well, you know, was at Houston Baptist. I believe his dad was a track coach at Texas Tech. They, you know, Houston Baptist went there with Zappe and put up a ton of points. And then he went to Western Kentucky with Zappe. He set all the records last year. Now he's the OC. Joe McGuire's just done an unbelievable job killing it recruiting. I think they have a top 10 class already for next year. And what's crazy about them is they still had the goods. They fired a coach. They still went to a bowl game. Like that doesn't – usually the guys go in the tank. There's a lot of juice around that program. I'm telling you, I really think they're going to beat Houston week two. I think it's a brutal spot that we've been there. We were there on the greatest night there ever was in Lubbock. It is – it's a swoon, man. Like that play, I hope it's a night game. That needs to be a night game. I got to double check that. All right, what else do we got? Moving out, Kansas State, 7 is the number, -135. Your thoughts on the Purple Cats?
That feels about right, and it's not a side I'm willing to lay. I mean, you're asking for 8-4, which is certainly. Mm-hmm. Certainly possible. Can Adrian Martinez be the guy after the disappointing injury-filled career at Nebraska? You look at the schedule. The thing is, the pieces are in place for a 3-0 start going to Oklahoma.
Yes,
and they won't be a 28-point underdog at Oklahoma like in previous years when they pulled some major upsets. So OU will be on full alert. I think the front end of that schedule gives them opportunities to come in. What happens with Oklahoma? Should they lose at Oklahoma, they come back and they get Texas Tech. Like that's going to be like the type of game that determines whether they go over the 7 or not. Because after that, you got the Iowa State game on the road, and then after the bye, you go to TCU, Oklahoma State, Texas at Baylor. That's a really, really hard stretch. And then you got the game in Morgantown, which, like, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the year this year. And then Kansas, who they'll blow out. So, like, 7 feels like the right number. I think 8-4 is more likely than 6-6. So I would play over if I had to. But at the same time, it feels pushy to me.
I agree with all that you said. I just thought a couple of interesting things about him getting rid of. I mean, Kleiman got rid of his really good friend, who's the offensive coordinator, and brought in Colin Klein. Colin Klein called the plays in that bowl game against LSU. We know LSU was half the roster they normally had, but Kleiman was really reading the things in the offseason. Like he knew he had to change the offense, and he said he realized that because, you know, they averaged 57 plays per game last year, and they had to get more plays.
It's just not enough. It's not enough.
Well, no, this is the best part. Is the reason he finally realized, he's like, we never trailed when we were at North Dakota State, so it wasn't a problem. So he realized that he had to change it, and I give him credit for that. I'm up against it because when he got the job, I said, in 4 years, Kansas State would be in the Big 12 title game. This is the year. So when I talked about the two teams, I wish I could get a parlay or a matchup parlay for Kansas State TCU in the Big 12 title game. I would be willing to play that ticket. I think that would be an awesome number to see.
I think that would be – how about – that would be a great – you should go to the Kansas Gaming Commission when they launch their – I think they're going to be up and going, up and running by the time maybe I can run and make the wager for you. We can get who's going to be in the state of Kansas. What books are going to be in Kansas? Or is Superbook going to be in Kansas?
Sounds about right. We'll see.
I had John Murray create a prop last week, which
sure did.
People have been asking about. We are. Maybe I can get a. Mr. Murray, if indeed that's the case, to have a prop posted in Kansas and Big 12 title game props.
The one The one thing that scares me is Martinez here, because I didn't realize he had torn labrum surgery, and he did lead Nebraska in rush attempts. Whether that was designed, I'm still not sure. He's not going to lead this team in rush attempts.
That's the old Kansas State offense when you had Colin Klein and Scott Lee. But did you see that thing too about how he played? Was it last year with like his jaw like just like rubber banded shut? Like that. Yeah. That's a guy like. That's all. Like, I understand privacy, and I understand you don't want to give opponents information about injuries on your team for an. But like, that's the type of stuff where like all the that people like made fun of Adrian Martino, a turnover machine. Like, that's the stuff. Like, if people knew what went on with these kids and like how hurt they were, what they were playing through, like. I think you'd see a lot less of that, and just giving these kids a lot more credit for everything that's going on in their lives, especially when it comes, because you just never know what really the case is. And you read that, and you're like, damn. And here we are making fun of him in his 11th year, play against Michigan, and just all the losses and turnovers that they had, and the kid's out there doing his best and under the conditions that he's been being dealt with. So. That's my rant, I guess. I'm for the make injuries public, so A, we know what the hell is going on, and B, so it's a little bit of a fairer ground.
Last year was the first year they went with the 3-3-5 from 4-2-5. I mean, Klieman played that 4-2-5 for 15 years. Going back to the close games too in this conference, Kansas State 7 games last year they either led or trailed by 1 score in the fourth quarter. They're right there. I think the defense makes another step. I'm going to give this a chance because I think he's a phenomenal player, and I want to say his name. Felix Anudike Uzama, 14 tackles for loss, 11 sacks last year, and then Khalid Duke also on the D-line. I like Kansas State this year. I would go over 7.5. I will start you with this one. Who wins more games, Texas or Oklahoma?
Well, you got Texas has got the problem that they have Alabama in the non-conference league. That's a problem, because you're not winning that game. Texas very easily could have beaten Oklahoma for the last 5 years.
Yep.
And basically, essentially, you're picking who wins the Red River game is ultimately, I think, what it's coming down to right now.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of number are you giving me? I mean, because what Oklahoma's win total is 9.5 and Texas is 8.5. Is that right?
Yeah, so I saw 8.5 circa, yeah.
So you're getting plus money on Texas. I'd take the plus money on Texas.
Me too.
To have more wins.
Me too. It's that perspective of what are they when they come out of that Alabama game? Did they get out healthy? Did they get out of the game healthy? Bingo. Did the true freshman on the O-line, how bad did they get exposed? Did they play up to standards? You know, that's to me, because I'll tell you what. Do you think Oklahoma's going to Lincoln and winning?
No, it's done. It's no lock. They're a field goal favorite?
I don't think they win that game. And I don't see how Oklahoma goes over 9.5 if they lose at Nebraska. I don't see.
I don't think it either. I don't think so either.
Just reading, I picked out one. Our guy Max Olson did the preview for The Athletic on Oklahoma, and the way Venables talks, he doesn't give you anything. Here's a couple things.
It's the old Bob Stoops method in Oklahoma.
Like, it's kinda crazy. He did say they're going to have 50 players this year that have never put on an Oklahoma uniform. And all he did was talk about what they lost, and he wouldn't say a word about the defense. So it's really hard to get a gauge on what will happen there. And then you talk about the deal with Gundy, and I think it was a huge reaction to not let it affect recruiting. And you know, he just took over, and I don't know if it was told to do that, but that came from a higher up. Circumstances were not great, But he attacked that situation, and they're moving on. So I think they're going to come out crazy against UTEP. I already looked at that over. I don't think it's high enough. They're going to chuck it. I talked about how much I love Dylan Gabriel with Lebby. But I agree with you. I think Texas wins more games. I think Texas has way better offensive skill guys, and I think Sark will get those young guys to play up front. The issue is the depth, and I think Texas this year is a lot like Miami, where they have an opportunity this year to take a serious step. I just think the lack of depth up front on both lines of scrimmage, from where Sark wants to have it and where Mario definitely wants to have it, that's what ends up getting them in at the end. Obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if either of these won the conference, but I just feel like that's where I am with these two teams. I am absolutely fascinated by that Oklahoma at Nebraska game, because I think that's going to be fantastic atmosphere, and knowing what older people like us have seen with that game. And I know it's not what it used to be, but I'm just pumped to see it.
No, I think next year is kind of the year for Texas with the amount of recruits that they had in the offensive line. I worry a little bit about how this quarterback deal is gonna play out. It seemed like Hudson Card was ticketed to be the starter, and that wasn't just like the stuff that you were reading message board. Like that's kind of where it looked like it was headed, from what I was under the impression of. And then all of a sudden the light switcher, oh no, it's going to be Quinn Ewers. Like, I worry if that was like another example of, we hear about Texas boosters getting involved in the program, and hey, we got this big NIL deal with Quinn Ewers. Oh, he's got to be the guy. And you know, like, you worry if like that came into play. I don't know that it did, but like, Card's not the starter. Does he stay now? Like, I worry about stuff like that, as well as losing the wide receivers that they lost. Defensively, they got to be better.
They will be,
I think that they will be as well. And Oklahoma, you're right. Like, we've talked about, like, I played under 9.5 for a good amount, and then I found an 8.5 out there as well at FanDuel. I don't know if it's still 8.5 or not. It was a couple of weeks ago. So I bought some over 8.5 back, thinking 9-3 was a pretty good landing spot middle to have for a little bit. So, like, for all the talent that they had last year on the defensive side of the ball, all those guys now gone. You had Caleb Williams, you had Bim, like, all, and the running backs, like, Lincoln, can't even say his name, is now gone. But offensive line wasn't up to what you normally see from an Oklahoma offensive line last year either. So, like, that's got to be better. I think there are, you won more close games than any team in the country last year. You got to continue to win them all. Like, I get your love for Dylan Gabriel and Jeff Lebby. I see it. I get it. I understand it. But at the same time, like, how quickly are we going? I mean, they're going to have to be good right out of the gate when they play when they go to Nebraska. So,
yeah,
I see the upside, but at the same thing, I think this is like a 9-3 type team.
All right, and the two teams that played in the title game last year are the two biggest wild cards to me, and it's Baylor and it's Oklahoma State. I absolutely love both head coaches. I love Grimes' offensive coordinator with Baylor, and there's a trust with me there. But when I look at what they lost, I don't think it's repeatable. What they did last year, just an awesome season, and Aranda is as good as it gets in every facet. And Gundy might be my favorite coach in the conference from what he's done. I can't believe it's 18 years. I'll just ask you this: I got Oklahoma State 8.5. And Baylor over. Which over would you rather take?
Baylor. I think it is sustainable. Aranda is like a defensive minded guy, and the way between he and Grimes, the way they complement each other so well. You're talking about a team that plays just good, hard nosed defensive football. relies on defense to win games often. But at the same time, he's not afraid to bring in an offensive guy who went for it like more than all but two teams in the Power Five last year on fourth down. So, like, it's kind of this, like, combo philosophy of everything. I love Aranda as a coach. I love Grimes.
Me too.
I think Shapley was better, I think, than Bohannon was. I think he will continue to improve. Yeah, losing Petrie, that's a big loss. But I think this team is well-coached. I think they're built to last, and I'm pretty confident in Baylor this year.
You think they go to Provo and win week two?
Yes, I do.
Wow. I do not. And that's where I think my problem starts. I still want to see more than Chapin. The running back was awesome last year. I understand. I just need to see it. Like, I trust Grimes and everything. And I agree with you. If those two teams, I feel like I would take the over. I think our guy Jimmy Knowles leaving Stillwater is an enormous loss. Enormous loss. And with those two teams, I would – think Oklahoma State takes a little step back. I'm not saying you're gonna have a disaster season. I love your program. Pistol Pete's my favorite mascot in the sport. But I would lean with you on Baylor between those two teams. All right, let's take a deep breath. Let's go to the Pac-12. I guess we're not doing divisions this year in the Pac-12. Is that true?
Yes.
Because I can't find any odds to win the North.
It's old school Big 12 where you just had your South opponent, but you're going to have the top two teams in the league meet in the conference tournament.
All right. So we could have rematches of South teams, because that's who I think. I think those three South teams are by far ahead of anyone else in the conference. I do want to get to the breaking news of – let's start at the bottom so we don't waste a lot of time where we don't need to. Colorado at Circa has moved to over 2.5, minus 150, and the under 2.5, plus 130. Do you say I would still lean under, even at that number, and I'm getting plus money? I don't see it.
Let's see. They got – I'd go under.
Yeah.
I'd still go under. Like you're not going to go to Minnesota, I wouldn't think, and win.
No
Arizona,
way.
Arizona on the road, yeah, maybe that. Maybe. Or Cal at home, who knows. I'd still take a chance on plus money there on the under.
Yeah.
Offense is going to be so bad.
Oh, God. All right, that's your Colorado breakdown. Sorry, people. The next
Unlike last year where we had all the Pac-12 student reporters who came in and gave us great stuff.
You did.
That's what you're getting this year due to time constraints. Moving ahead to action further in the third quarter.
Arizona 3.5. The over is plus 125. Thoughts?
I can't go over. Like, I think this is a perfect team where they're going to be better than they were last year, but the way the schedule breaks down, your non-conference gimme supposedly is North Dakota State, in addition to a game with Mississippi State and a game at San Diego State. Like, that, like, that's hard. Like your road games are Cal, who potentially would be a beatable team. Like we mentioned, there's a chance like Colorado is the only game you win this year. It's possible.
All right.
I'd be looking at under on the win total, but a much more competitive team.
Okay. I want odds on Arizona wins more games than Arizona State.
Well, that would be a big plus number.
Yeah. I don't have much on Arizona State. I think there's too much. I'm not a big believer in Emory Jones. The number six, it's plus 110. You think about what they've lost. You think about all that's going on in the program. It's just something I don't want to touch, and I could see it, things going bad. You do, or you should get two wins in the out-of-conference against Northern Arizona and Eastern Michigan. You do go to Stillwater. I think that's brutal. I think that's a game, like, how do you come out of that game? And then, I mean, just Utah, USC off the get in conference is a rough way to start it. So if anything, I'd go under Arizona State.
Yeah, the good thing is you get two winnable conference games on the road, back-to-back weeks, Stanford, Colorado. But I think what you just said, like, I don't want any part of this because I just don't know the psyche of the – I mean, there are 100 and whatever many teams out there you can bet a season win total. Why take your chance on a team that it could get completely sideways? If they start losing early, more reports come out on Herm and recruit or whatever else. It could completely get ugly. So I want no part of Arizona State.
Stanford's 4.5, and it's been as bad as it could get. The run game numbers, whether it's trying to run ball or against the run, are as bad as I've ever seen. I understand what's coming back. I do love McKee. I do think they got some guys that came in early that are going to help the defense. I think 5 wins is possible. If I had to take a side, I would go over on the 4.5. The problem is the end of the season. You go at Utah, at Cal, and then BYU comes in, who I think is going to have a big year after reading this week. You got road games at Notre Dame. You get USC right off the jump. That's a home game for USC in Palo Alto. And then you got to go to Washington and go to Oregon. You get Arizona State at home. You get Washington State at home. I think there's 5 out there. You start with Colgate. It can't be worse. It can't be worse. And I feel like after getting things back to normal and getting their strength program, whatever, everything Shaw's saying, I do think that stuff matters. And they did lose a bunch of their playmakers with injuries and receiver, and they also lost the quarterback. We saw how bad it was. But I think he fixes a lot. I would lean towards the over of 4.5 with Stanford.
Yeah, I probably would as well. I think you're going to see some different things from their offense as well. With McKee, so we'll see how that goes. It's flabbergasting to me how bad they were last year. Like, they were outgained by 148 yards a game last year. Only 4 teams in the country were outgained by a greater margin than them: Colorado, UConn, Kansas, and UMass. They forced 9 turnovers all year. So defensively, they were terrible. And you're just saying they won 4-3 games last year.
And no, they started 3-2 and went 3-9.
That's what I'm saying. They won 3 games last year, and two of the three wins were Oregon and USC. It was just simply amazing. But I would lean towards the over as well. Michael Wilson comes back, which I think will help them defensively. Like you said, you can't be worse in terms of the schedule. I would hope you got to get there by the time that Utah game comes, because I'm just trying to play amateur psychologist with this. So you go to Utah, where you're going to get bludgeoned and beat up front, and you got the game at Berkeley. And if you lose the Axe, where are you mentally when you're going to come home for BYU in front of 4,000 fans?
And it's just going to want to maul you.
Correct.
It's you're going to know early. I'll tell you that. You'll
that's
know
your
early.
Team. That's it.
Would you rather take Cal or Oregon State over? Cal's 5.5. Oregon State is 6.5.
Probably Oregon State.
Okay.
Even though you do have the two tougher non-conference games, the game at Fresno and then the game against Boise.
You think they beat Boise?
I don't know.
They're a dog, aren't they? Or are they favorite? It's 3.
They're probably a slight favorite, I would think. And then Cal's got to go to Notre Dame. After looking at the schedules, I might flip that. Even Montana State isn't a gimme FCS game. Cal should beat UC Davis. They should beat UNLV. You get Arizona at home. You go to Colorado in a winnable game. Yeah, I could see 6 games. I could see 6 wins for Cal.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Let's flip that. I would rather go over with Cal, just because, I mean, I trust Wilcox.
Is there a better coach in America that's under 500? 26-28.
I was going to say, yeah, it's exactly. Like we said, trust them, and defensively, you know, they're going to be good, but offensively, they're obviously going to need to be better.
Yeah. That schedule is brutal to me. I don't know. I want to try and touch on some non-power five next week, quick, just the teams that we like and don't like. But I think Fresno State is set up very well this year. All right. USC. Plenty has been made. I don't think you believe the hype. I don't believe the hype in this playoff talk. I don't even know if they're going to make the conference championship game. The number's 9.5. Who wins more games, Oklahoma or USC?
See, here's the thing. USC, if they lose to anybody other than UCLA, Utah, and Notre Dame, it's a massive upset. They're better than every other team that they're going to play.
Agreed.
And while I am not necessarily high on SC, I think the fact that you've got those guys on offense, they're going to be able to put points on the board. Can I say they'll both finish? I think USC has a better shot at 10-2 than Oklahoma does. How about
that? No doubt. No doubt in my mind. No, no, I just
– it's because of the schedule.
I really am dying to see the Fresno State game because I think Fresno State could beat them.
That was like my favorite game last year. I remember coming home from wherever the hell it was in the wee hours and flipping on Fresno UCLA early in the year. And that was an unbelievable game.
Unbelievable. And Fresno State has a ton, and they got your guy Tedford back. I mean, are they undefeated going to Utah? Because I think the Fresno State game, I mean, they've had nightmares going to Oregon State, but now you got Lincoln coming in. He doesn't know anything about Corvell, so he doesn't care. And I think that I like that matchup. I guess they're undefeated going to Utah. I'll be surprised if they win at Utah. And then I don't think, you know, we'll get to – I like UCLA this year. I would take a shot with them to win that conference. But I definitely think USC wins more games than Oklahoma. And I just – the team – that last game of the year, like what are – is there anything to play for in that – or, you know, Notre Dame game at the end? Because that's a brutal end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this about SC. I get it. Skill guys all over the place. They are super thin on the offensive line. And the guys they got coming back were not impressive.
And they're crap on defense.
Yes. So
give up 62 to UCLA.
And I don't know if Stanford could flip the switch and punish them like they did last year. How did they come out of that game? And then you got Fresno. It's just – I don't like high totals. I've always said that, and I would stay away. So, but obviously I think they're at the top of the list. Everybody's most interesting teams this year for sure.
It's funny. I think – trying to figure out the best way to say this. I don't want to say the best thing for college football fans, but I think the sport would get some juice. Like,
no doubt. Everyone,
if they lost to either Stanford or Fresno State, I think it's like the fairy tale right now, the honeymoon, and all of a sudden it's like reality check comes in. Oh, they're not. Lincoln Riley isn't the greatest savior, and Caleb Williams and Die and Addison. Oh, wait, they're still losing. Like, I think almost long term, that might be one of the better things that could happen to SC is if they kind of get that little bit of a reality check early on.
Early on,
and,
yeah, great,
and then move on from there. We'll see.
Yeah,
I'm sure not everybody's going to agree with that.
Are you as high on UCLA as I am? I think they can win the conference.
I am. I think DTR coming back is a big deal. I think Charbonnet is one of the more underrated running backs, certainly in the country, and certainly not the league. I think Chip made some changes defensively, which I think kind of hurt personally, given the relationship he has with some guys. But they needed to be made. There's a real chance this team is undefeated when they host Utah, given that schedule: Bowling Green, Alabama State, South Alabama, at Colorado, and then Utah. And they got Utah at home, idle week at Oregon. Like, there's a real chance for them, I think, to have a special type of season. So I'm with you. I don't know if it necessarily, but what's the over 8.5? Is that what it is?
UCLA is over 8.5. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd feel better about a price to win the Pac-12 than I would 8.5, just because I guess 8-4 could be in play if the defense doesn't improve, they don't replace some of the guys that they had lost in the portal. Like I maybe DTR gets nicked up again, misses some time, but maybe you lose to Utah, you lose to Oregon, and things kind of go downhill. So I'd rather take a little bit more of a bang for the buck at the 9-1 or whatever they are to win the Pac-12 than I would go over the 8.5.
30,000-1 Charbonnet to win the Heisman.
No shot.
Take a shot.
No
take
shot.
Take a shot. I agree with you. I think it's a dogfight between Utah, UCLA, and USC. And I'm fascinated. I think all the teams, I do think they're all legit. And that's I can't remember saying that. We haven't even gotten to Oregon, who's the biggest wild card maybe in the mm-hmm. country, to me. But those four, if Oregon pans out what I think they should be or what the expectations are, I'm not saying going over the crazy expectations and winning week one, but that's as solid of four teams as this conference has put on the field in a while, it feels like. So I do feel like it's moving in the right direction. You mentioned
offense,
it.
Reports of that offense from Oregon haven't been that great. I'll say that.
No, a couple picks thrown in the scrimmage the other day.
Well, who would ever have imagined that Bo Nix might have trouble with ball security? I mean, what kind of track record is there out there? What kind of film is out there on that ever happening? They could have never have predicted that.
No, I'm trying to get Oregon's number here, 8.5. I think I would lean under there. I just think there's too much unknown. Coaching his first year, I'm just trying to see where they play.
They got Utah at Autzen, but that hasn't mattered in the past.
No, it hasn't. I'm trying to figure out where.
The good thing is that their road schedule, that they get the right teams, I think, on the road. You get Wazoo on the road. You get Arizona on the road. You get Cal on the road. You get Colorado on the road. And then the Civil War is on the road. Like I think their schedule breaks out actually kind of nicely. And then you get BYU at home too.
Yeah. That's they're fascinating to me. I don't trust the quarterback situation. I just don't know how that first year head coach will handle. There's not crazy places to play in the conference, but they're very different.
Defensively, they're going to be so good though. I mean, so everyone talked about KT last year, but when they lost Flo, that was a massive deal. Sewell mm-hmm. is so good. Like they're going to be really good defensively. And it's just going to be a question of whether the offense holds them back. I would lean over, but at the same time, it wouldn't shock me if they went 8-4.
All right.
I guess it basically comes down to, like, do they beat BYU at home? If they beat BYU, they see, there you go. That's why you're on the under, and I'd be on the over. Right? Like,
right.
Or maybe you say that they're only lost the rest of the way is Utah.
Correct.
Good. And that puts down in 3 in play.
Yeah. Yeah. That's 8.5 does change it. Because 9, I get your, I think you're begging for a push.
Yeah. 9 is a total push number. You want, you post 9, you're not going to get any action.
That leaves us with the two Washington schools.
We didn't even talk about Utah. Come on now.
Yeah, I just threw them in with the UCLA conversation. I expect a lot of things. I'm scared to death of week one. I've talked about in shows I've gone on. That game, what Utah does week one, is going to be held over their head and the conference's head
all year.
So
doesn't it feel like Florida? Doesn't it feel like Florida is going to be like the sharp side in that game with where that number is?
I will guarantee. I will guarantee Florida is on winners next week. I will just tell you that.
Lock, zero doubt.
Yeah, I Utah people don't have to hear me pump them up. I think they got the goods with transfers and recruiting to fill the void of Lloyd and those guys lost on defense. Rising continued to impress me like hell. Even in the Rose Bowl, I thought he was tremendous, and special teams got in the way there. I always expect the best out of Utah. I would say, yeah, over nine. I just am dying to see what they look like week one. That the mugginess and the swamp and everybody fired up there. I love Napier, and it'll be interesting. It is not my most fascinating game of week one. I want to touch with you on that at the end of this. But the two Washington schools, I just want to get to. I love Wazoo over five. I think it's totally gettable. I love what they bring back. I'm super fired up for Cameron Ward, the kid from Incarnate Word. He gets his offensive coordinator, Eric Morris, to come with him. I thought Dicker did a great job when he took over. I think their defense is going to be better. And in that, I keep saying, but in the North, half the North teams have first-year head coaches. I guess you throw Dickert in there. But I think they have more stability as they go into the season. That how are they going to come out of the game against Wisconsin? That's obviously huge. What a total contrast of styles that's going to be as Leonard, you know, with all the new changes on defense, gets ready for this attack. I like it. They got to fix some things on the offensive line, but they have some options, and they got two really good defensive ends. And are they 4-4 going into November? Because they get Arizona State, Arizona, and UW to finish the year. That's where I think the difference comes in. I'm going to have to wait, but I do like over five for Wazoo.
And I think UW is a real interesting team too. You know they're going to be much better coached with DeBoer, who brings in Michael Penix. Their offense was so bad last year; couldn't run the ball, turnover machine at quarterback and Dylan Morris. You would think if he could create that type of turnaround at Indiana offensively, you would think that he will be able to do it in the Pac-12. So I think UW, in terms of a team with a higher ceiling, that probably, if you told me that they were 4-0 going to UCLA, I would not be shocked at all.
I totally expect them to beat Michigan State. I think that's a game that is really huge for DeBoer. And you've heard me talk about him, what he's done. I mean, go back to Indiana, Fresno State. I love him. I think the world of him as an offensive mind. And the pieces are there on defense. I think he'll figure out the quarterback situation for sure. Their left tackle is all conference.
Wasn't it kind of surprising to you that Hayner didn't go there with them? That surprised me.
Yeah, but I think the combination of – because I still think those guys will be all right at quarterback. And the fact that Hayner started there, I didn't feel like that was okay. That was right to go back there just because of DeBoer.
That probably was in his mind.
Yeah. I like what they have. I know they're as bad as they were last year. I think it's fixable, and I think DeBoer is the perfect guy to do it. And I would lean over 7.5. We've talked with our guy McElroy a bunch of, you know, these season win totals where you look at teams and the numbers that much higher and they're begging you to be astounded by the number, I would feel confident in thinking UW could get to 8 wins this year. 7.5 is -130 now. I saw it circa. So two very, very interesting teams. It might be the two most interesting teams in the conference.
You get Arizona and Arizona State as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of crossovers. Like, that's who you want. Colorado, mm-hmm. you've got, like, I guess it's a crossover. Like you get the right teams.
Correct.
Pieces are in place, I think, for them to have a pretty good year.
Very good.
Big Mike Happy Recap.
So your favorite plays, Big Mike Happy Recap. In the Big 12, I like TCU over 6.5 a lot. And I would take Kansas State. I'd take Kansas State over 7.
I'd play at TCU and Iowa State, win the Big 12. Hopefully you get one of them in the title mm-hmm. game at a nice price to give yourself a nice little ticket. I'd play Baylor over season wins. That's a little bit of a contrarian. I'd play Iowa State over season wins, which is a little contrarian. And then if you see a 9.5 at Oklahoma, I'd play under 9.5. And then if you can find that 8.5, I don't know if that's still out there at FanDuel, to buy a little bit back as a middle, you could do that.
Very good. And then the Pac-12, I love Wazoo over 5 is out there with a little bit of juice on it. And trying to think of the other ones. I like UCLA to win the conference. I think those odds are doable. I think it's a 3-team fight. Oregon is the – I wouldn't be shocked if they won the conference. I won't be shocked if they went 8-4. Mm-hmm. They're the biggest wild card to me. But Wazoo, mm-hmm. and I really want to see what UW does. But the other teams, I mean, those – Arizona State, Arizona, and Colorado. I'm sorry. I don't want to. My mom told me if I – no, what is it? Don't say
– if you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Bingo. But I think Arizona's on the right trajectory. I just don't think they can win any of those out-of-conference games.
That's tough. Arizona. Yeah. So yeah. I think out of the Pac-12, I think I'm most confident in Washington over – and Arizona under would be the two okay. that we look at.
And week 0 picks, we're both on Illinois.
Both on Illinois, and give me Charlotte plus the 7 or 7.5 against FAU.
All right, and I'm going to tease because I want to be miserable late Saturday night, Vanderbilt and Illinois. Next week, we will have picks. Not saying it's going to be a pick of yours, and I know you're going to the Backyard Brawl, and I know you're going to Columbus.
Yep.
But what is the most interesting game to you in week 1?
I think the Florida Utah game is interesting for the reasons we talked about. I think Oregon Georgia is really interesting as well, because you've got an Oregon defense that I'm really curious to see how Lanning molds that defense with the guys that I mentioned, Sewell and Flo and the other guys they have against a Georgia offense, which he clearly knows and saw practice every day. If they can slow Georgia down, like, does that offer a little bit of a blueprint? Does that offer a concern for Georgia in the East? And at the same time, I'm curious to see the new look Georgia defense with all those guys. It's well against an Oregon offense that may struggle. So I'm really intrigued by Oregon, Georgia as well as Florida, Utah, and Oregon, Georgia should not be taking your backseat to Ohio State, Notre Dame in terms of the headlines at all.
You would rather take Oregon than Notre Dame to cover that big spread?
Yes, unquestionably.
Okay. It's crazy. Talking to people around Georgia, they're confident. Whereas everybody else feels like to be picking them apart. I think we're going to see a team come out that wants to prove something with all the new faces they have. I'm really interested to see that. My most interesting game is a conference game, and it's Penn State and Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
I am dying to see what both these teams look like. And Purdue, awesome year. I love Brohm. More than anything, play caller, his approach, what he's done. I understand the record isn't great, but when you go back and look at what his teams have done in big games or, you know, as an underdog, I think it's how you start building something. O'Connell, is he the second best quarterback in the conference? We'll see. Will we see the freshman from Penn State at quarterback at all? I still think we have, there's plenty of talent on that roster. And I just, I want, that place is going to be bananas Thursday night. So I that's the game, because I think it's both huge for both, obviously, their season win totals, because I don't know if it's gettable if you lose that game, but it's another one where I could see Purdue on winners Thursday night, knowing how much Mr. Van Pelt loves the home cheap dogs.
I was just going to say, you talked about the 100% chance Florida's on winners. 98% chance Purdue is on winners with the bang that big ass drum. He wouldn't go favorite week one with Ohio State, would he?
He might. He might. Because what is it? That's up to 16 now?
Is it that high?
Yeah,
I saw 15.
Yeah, everybody's going to react to the O-line injury for Notre Dame, which is obviously huge. But
yeah,
it's the best, man. I want to see, I mean, reading all these teams, I just want to see these guys now. And, you know, I mentioned Oklahoma, 50 guys haven't even put on the uniform, just stuff like that. I new faces, new places. It just becomes ample and more ample every year we get with the portal and guys changing. So it's a great time of the year. We'll be back next week with week one picks. Anything else before we go?
I think we're good. I think we're doing well. I'm just trying to get Michael Harris home to win National League Rookie of the Year. That would be
why.
Nice.
Who's threatening him?
Strider, his teammate. Just a question of how the voters view certain things. Do you view the everyday player who has
is
super plus defense and has an OPS and slugging percentage, I believe, still higher than Matt Olson?
And that saves runs off of Strider's ERA every time he goes out.
Exactly right. Comes up with clutch home runs last night in a road game to get them the win. We're trying to get that home.
Nice comeback for your Jets last night.
I actually put it on after the Rick Steves episode was over. I watched a little DVR for what I missed from last week. I watched Dr. Pimple Popper was on DVR. I watched that. I watched Last Week Tonight. So that killed some time, and then right in time for Rick Steves when it was outside Paris. We went to some Chartres and some other places that were right in the greater area of Paris. And then wife went up to bed, and then I clicked on the Jets.
Love it. Love to hear it. All right. I'll stop.
Oh, by the way, here's a question for you. Speaking of bets, I got a nice little promo from FanDuel that sent me a little flyer in the mail. Up to $1,000, you could bet. You get a plus 300 price boost on a team to win the Super Bowl. Who would you have bet on if you could get any team at their current odds and then add plus 300 to their number? Who would you bet?
Ravens.
So I think that would have been like 25-1 or 20-1 to. Okay, I took the Chiefs.
Okay.
I already had the Niners at 16-1. I'm a little contrarian. I think I'm higher on the Niners than a lot of people are this year, which is funny because I was completely oppo of that. Not really sure about Trey Lance, but I think the opportunity. If you're going to bet the Niners, you got to kind of bet them now because you get the Bears in week one, who's a terrible team. You get the Seabags in week two, who are a terrible team. Like the train will have left the station if they open 2-0 and he looks semi good. So I bet the Niners, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bet the Chiefs as well. I think their defense is going to be better. Everyone's going to be on the Bills. So That's where I went.
My favorite bet I've placed so far this year in anything, season win total, NFL, 10-1 Seahawks to have the worst record.
Yeah, I took the Bears 10-1 to have the worst record.
Okay.
But I mean, you talk about, I mean, they got no chance. They got no plan at quarterback. Like, you can't play Drew Lock and Geno Smith and think that's going to work.
I mean, in that division, they're not going to win a division game.
Even though I will say this, that being said, like, I can't wait for week one of the NFL season for survival purposes. There, you got all those road favorites. There is going to be I am staying far away from the Ravens. I am staying far away from the Saints. I am staying far away from the Broncos. Like there is going to be absolute carnage with all those road favorites week one. You can have all of those teams. I'll stay away.
Very good.
Your guy, Dangerous, going up to the home of the 12th man, Seattle, week one, in the new uniform. You can't see the Seahawks stepping up, bowing up once.
No, I can't. Oh man, Tampa's at Dallas.
Yep.
Wow.
That's the thing. It is a brutal schedule of games, rather, in that stretch.
Wow.
Great week one and Survivor. I can't wait.
All right. Officially, that'll do it. We'll be in touch. Any questions about any teams, please hit us up on Twitter at Chris Felica, at Stanford Steve 82. My DMs are open. If you have anything, I'm always there. Good luck, everybody. Have fun this weekend. And I can't wait to watch some football. It's here. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.